Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. We are going to have a great week this week doing a Bible study, so I hope that if you are not driving or otherwise occupied, that you will have the scripture with you and open. As you find your Bible, let me remind you of the opportunity you have to speak with me and to join fellow listeners for an upcoming Zoom video call set for Thursday evening, May 25th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For those of you in other parts of the country, that may be 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. And for those of you listening via the God Is podcast from all around the world, you can do the calculation based on the time change between U.S. Eastern Standard Time and wherever you are. In Asia, that is most likely a 12 or 13 hour ahead time change. In Europe, that is most likely a 5 or 6 hour ahead time change. Should you question whether or not you have the right time, ask me when you email me to signal your participation. On Thursday, May 25th, 2023, at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will talk via Zoom. I welcome your participation. The focus of our discussion will be God's foreknowledge and predestination. I will facilitate the discussion, and you will be able to respond to what I have been teaching. You can ask questions and get a sense for what other listeners, like yourself, are learning from God Is. This is designed to be a friendly and encouraging environment in which we can have a respectful conversation. If you know what Zoom is and you use it, then you know this is easy. You're all set. If you are wondering, what is Zoom? Then email me anyway, and I will tell you how to get it free. Everything about this is free. Also, if you want to participate, but this date and time are not good for you, email me anyway, and that way I will know of your interest. The date is Thursday evening, May 25th, 2023. The time is 7 p.m. U.S. Eastern Standard Time. Email me, mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. And let me know you want to join. I very much look forward to hearing from you. mark@godisministry.org. As we begin this new week, let me remind you what is the focus of our current study here on God Is. We talked rather extensively about predestination. Romans 8 verse 29 says that God predestined those he saves from sin. Then we introduced the topic of double predestination. By this we mean predestination has two sides. Two sides make it double. And we had two illustrations found in Romans chapter 9. On the first side of predestination, God intervenes in the lives of Jacob and Moses and predestines them for salvation. We clearly see that in both the Old Testament and New Testament. So, on the other side of predestination, does God intervene in the lives of Esau and the Egyptian Pharaoh and predestine them for damnation? Does God take the exact same action on both sides of predestination? The answer is no. On Friday, we explored 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9 and learned that there is no sin. There is no evil in God such that God could plant unbelief, sin, and evil in Esau and in Pharaoh in order that they would not be saved. On the positive side of predestination, God does plant belief and faith in the lives of people whom he has predestined to be saved. But on the negative side of predestination, God does not plant unbelief or lack of faith, sin, evil, in the lives of people whom he has not predestined to be saved. So then the question is, what does God do on this other side of predestination? Well, let's find out by following the lives of Esau first and the Egyptian Pharaoh second in the pages of Scripture. And we start at Romans 9, verse 13. In this verse, the Apostle Paul quotes God. He takes a quotation from the Old Testament book of Malachi, chapter 1, and says this. I'm reading Romans 9, 13. Just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. As we have said, Jacob was predestined to be saved. So it makes sense to us that God says he loved Jacob. But Esau was not predestined to be saved. So by hated, is God saying, before Esau was even born, I so hated him that I predetermined not to save Esau? Is it that we have here before us two completely innocent twin boys, sweet little fellas? And God looks down from heaven and says, being completely arbitrary, I choose to love you, Jacob, but I choose to hate you, Esau. Is that it? Is that what God says, thinks, and does? No, that is not it. That is not what God says, thinks, and does. This is not what God has done. And let me show you why I say that. We are talking about God here. So we need to be very careful we understand who God is, his nature and his character, and what God means by what God says and when God says it. It is my responsibility to come alongside you and to open the Bible together so we can see what God does do with Esau and why God does it and why God says what he says in Romans 9:13. So, turn with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter 25. I want to show you that Esau was not an innocent, sweet young man. Neither was Jacob, by the way, but we have already talked about him. I am reading Genesis 25, verses 27 through 34. When the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a peaceful man, living in tents. Now Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. When Jacob had cooked stew, Esau came in from the field and he was famished. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there, for I am famished." Therefore Esau's name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "First, sell me your birthright." Esau said, "Behold, I'm about to die, so of what use then is the birthright to me?" And Jacob said, "First, swear to me." So Esau swore to Jacob, and Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Let me be succinct with my insights on these verses. First, in verse 30, we are told, therefore Esau's name was called Edom. Why was Esau called Edom? Well, Edom means red, as in the color red. Edom means red. And verse 25 of this same chapter, 25 of Genesis, tells us that, quote, Esau came forth red, all over like a hairy garment. And we read that Esau sold his birthright for that red stuff, the red stew his brother had made. So Esau being Edom is a play upon words. Edom means red, and Esau was born red and sold his birthright for the bowl of red stew. Now, lest you think this name Edom is a minor detail that can easily be passed over in the text, think again. Coming along with us all this week, you will see the significance of Edom in the Bible. For now, just note it. Esau's name was called Edom. Second, let's talk about this birthright and why it was so important. Esau was born first. He was the eldest son, and so the birthright belonged to him. And according to Deuteronomy, the birthright meant a double portion of the inheritance, so that when Isaac, Esau's father, died, Esau would receive a double portion of the inheritance from Isaac. Ah, now that's good. Esau definitely wanted that. Some of you are in line for getting the inheritance in your family. It's not that you wish for Dad to die, but he is old and frail and out of it most of the time, and meanwhile his bank accounts are bulging with money. You have access to the will, and you know the inheritance is coming to you, and you want it. You need it. I submit to you that Esau was perfectly fine with having the birthright and holding on to it for the double portion of the inheritance. Like most of us, Esau was completely at ease with receiving the double portion of the inheritance upon the death of Isaac. But the birthright, biblically, also meant inheriting a high level of responsibility. The birthright meant being the head of the family and the priest of the family, according to Old Testament texts. And it was this element in the birthright that Esau was not keen to accept. So he despised his birthright. It was one thing to accept the money, the assets. It was another thing to accept the responsibility. As Esau wanted no part of spiritual responsibility as head of household. We are following Esau now, finding that he was no sweet, innocent man. And we will continue with him next time. In the meantime, do write to me and tell me of your interest in the Zoom video call for Thursday, May 25th. If you want to participate, let me know by writing mark@godisministry.org. And join us again tomorrow, because God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.